This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the host of this Godcast, Frank Sasso.
Thank you, Lord. This is Frank. Hello, everybody. I'd like to welcome all the listeners, the partners, the subscribers, and the first-time listeners just tuning in.
Pretty much everybody.
Pretty much everybody. He's already starting. Keith Axum with us today. So, you know, what I've noticed is that every other previous week up to now, we've had one of the directors on. One of the board of directors. We started off with James and Mary from Youth Avenue TV, and then Chris did a teaching, and then Tim McDonald, and then I did a teaching, and now you're here. Hey. Huh. Hello.
That's good that you noticed that.
So, I just want to start this off real quick. You people have to see this thing. I asked Keith, hey, Keith, what's the weather going to be like today? So, he grabs out this, like, it's like the size of a card table. I'm like, what the heck is that? He goes, oh, it's my... I'm like, is that a phone? He goes, yeah, it's my new phone. I never saw something so big in my life.
You could eat dinner on it.
You could totally... You could eat dinner, you could play cards, you could fall asleep on the thing.
Use it like a frisbee, throw it.
Go look at the website right now. It's on the homepage. I said, what is that? He goes, it was a part phone, part tablet. It's called a phablet. I'm like, all right, don't ever say that again. Don't ever call it that again, a phablet. It's a phablet. Oh, man.
It's Keith, a phone. It's a tablet.
It's a phablet.
It's a dessert topping. Oh, man. It's very early in the morning. We're having our Starbucks coffee. Thank you, Lord.
Well, I'm here for Starbucks.
Well, I know the Lord is into coffee. He has a book all about it in his word.
Amen.
It's called Hebrews. I need a rim shot. There you go. Keith, my man, I love getting together with you. It's always fun. What is on your heart, man?
I just wanted to talk about how good God really is. You know how people say God's good all the time.
And all the time, God is good.
All the time, God is good.
That's right.
But I don't know if people really believe that. Like when push comes to shove, it's like a nice catchy little thing. Hey, God is good all the time. It's a catchy thing. It's like Christianese. God is good all the time. But why do we say that as Christians, as believers? Where's that come from? Like, why do we even think that God is good? So we have to look at the nature of God to even come up with some kind of assumption about who God is. I mean, what does he say about himself? I mean, Jesus says his yoke is easy, his burden is light. God says about himself in his word, God is love. And there's a lot of scripture about how much he loves us. You know, he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us.
Amen.
We go to the far side of the sea. He's there. He's not going to leave us. You know, in Romans, neither width nor length nor depth nor height nor angels nor demons nor any other such thing shall keep us from the love of God. So God loves us, and we have this scripture to stand on and a lot of other scripture to encourage us. So that's what God says about himself. Now, when you look at the Old Testament was an old covenant. It was basically do's and don'ts, and you could mess up. And God would get mad. He'd get ticked. Hey, this is what you do. This is how you do it. And then I'm going to bless your socks off. Mm. And you do that, and everything is cool. But if you messed up...
Then you got to eat your children.
Then you got to eat your children and drink your urine.
Oh, God. I'm trying to drink coffee, dude.
Maybe we better get a refresher.
Oh, man.
Need a new cup of Joe here.
Of all things you could say.
So there was a total difference there between what the old covenant was and what the new covenant was. The whole old covenant was just to show us that we couldn't do it on our own.
Right.
We could not do it. We couldn't fulfill God's standard of holiness. We couldn't walk in such a way to please God on our own. because sin was always present. Sin was always crouching at the door.
Right.
Now, the whole covenant points to the way of the new, the better covenant. Jesus comes, does the ultimate sacrifice. He dies for us, says it is finished. Everything is completed. He's the ultimate sacrifice. And now God's wrath is appeased once and for all, forever. No more wrath towards man, because he made that provision, and this is how he set things up, so that from the very beginning of time, everything was pointing the way towards Jesus, towards when God's wrath would be appeased, and we had the whole covenant to show us that we couldn't do it on our own, and now, through Jesus, we can do everything, and it's just so simple as us just believing in him, that now we have all those new covenant promises that God loves us, he adores us. You know, Frank Sasso's picture is on his mantle.
Amen.
You know, he just...
But Christina Sasso's picture's in his wallet.
I believe that.
He carries that around.
Well, amen. And we're just part of the family. You know, he looks and he smiles. He just loves us. He adores us. So, knowing that as Christians, and as Christians, we ought to believe his word, right?
Absolutely.
Isn't that kind of fundamental?
Well, his word is Jesus.
His word is Jesus. And his word is also the word, which is the written word. That's Jesus also, because all things were created for him and through him. So, as Christians, we ought to believe his word.
Right.
No matter what.
Right.
No matter how things look.
Amen.
So the world has this idea that, you know, God's maybe good. He's the old guy sitting up there in the cloud. He's got the big beard.
The man upstairs.
The man upstairs. There's another story behind that one. That drives me nuts. The man upstairs.
One day I called, the Lord had me call Keith up on the phone.
I was saying, is that?
And I'm like, okay, Lord. And I get Keith on the phone. I said, hey, Keith, the Lord just told me to tell you something. He's like, what's that? Tell Keith that I don't like when people call me the man upstairs either. And so Keith went, oh! He got all crazy, man, because I think you were just talking to someone who said that to you.
Yeah, it's a pet peeve of mine. People with the man upstairs. I mean, what is that?
The man upstairs.
It's just, it's like, does somebody live up? You know, what
is that?
Is that the upper room in the house?
Yeah, what if you're in a ranch-style house? Now what?
Is that an imaginary room?
That's so ridiculous.
You know, it's like...
No, but you're right. People have all these misconceptions of God, and then when they do acknowledge him, they see him as someone like them, whereas he made you like him, not for you to make him like you. You know what I mean? Like the man upstairs, or like the big guy in the sky.
Yeah, these trite sayings. The big guy. Yeah. The big guy. Me and the big guy.
Yeah, I'm with the big guy. Come on.
We're hanging, the big guy. The big guy and me, we're good. We're good that way.
Right, exactly.
We're all right. Me and the big guy. You know, I know the big guy.
Well, I even heard one, the old man.
The old man.
Yeah, me and the old man. Actually, I think Joseph Prince even said, I think you were the one who told me that. He goes, why do people think I'm old? I'm not old. I'm young.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that Joseph
Prince?
That's
right. That was Joseph Prince. Yeah. I'm vigorous. I'm not sitting here with the big beard. Well, anyway. If you're not a believer, you kind of have this concept of God. He's there, and he's pulling strings, and he's orchestrating things.
Right.
And it's like I was watching an old episode of Raymond the other day. It was where Robert was looking up at God, and he's like, I'll tell you, you are not funny. You are not funny. And then Deborah's like, he does mess around with him a lot, you know. And so that is kind of that concept God is, he's pulling all the strings. He's up there and his hands are in everything and he's pulling all these strings.
Right, right.
And then when something bad happens, even though they don't really know God, they still blame God.
Of course.
They don't blame anyone else.
That's
they don't
right.
blame the devil.
Right.
They never had a relationship with God, but they're still going to blame God.
Absolutely.
Like, God, why'd you let this happen? God, why'd you let me get sick? Why did I lose my job? God, you know.
What are you doing to me?
And they don't know him.
Right.
They don't know about his character.
Right.
They never read his word. Don't know anything about him.
That's right.
But they'll blame him.
Oh, they'll blame him in a minute. Absolutely.
Now, here's the thing. Christians are not always that much different.
Mm.
Because we're coming along and we know all this
stuff. That's what I thought we were talking about.
Well, that was unbelievers
because
there.
Because there are a lot of Christians that talk. I know a couple right now off the top of my head that say stuff like, oh, God, what are you doing to me? What are you doing to me?
Exactly. And I think there's a tendency there, unless you really, really, really know God really well, all of us, when something bad happens or things are looking bad, it's almost like, oh, you know, Lord, what's all right? In the back of your mind, you kind of think God is allowing this to happen, or right. God is somehow orchestrating it, or God is doing it to, and this is the worst, teach you something.
He teaches us with his word. That's what he teaches us with.
That's where
you learn things. I mean, you know, I just had this conversation with Brother Tim. You know, he was talking about how God, in a sense, allows certain things to train you, and he did a great job of explaining what he means when he says that. Because I said to him right on the air, I said, listen, I don't want people thinking God's some kind of maniac that he's allowing stuff to happen. Tim did a great job explaining what he means when he says when God allows something. Thank you, Tim, again, by the way. I know you're listening.
But God, I mean, yes, he's above all, and he's sovereign. And he's intimately involved with our lives because he loves us. But he's not sitting there pulling strings. So if something happens, now what's our response to that? Is it going, oh, Lord, you know, how did this happen? Did God do that to you? Mm. No, I look at it more like the devil did it to you. So, I mean, God is always for us. God can turn it around, absolutely. Yeah. Or maybe God certainly has a better plan.
Yeah.
Because we know he's got a great plan. But under what authority will those things happen?
Right.
See, amen. God allowed us to be that authority. He said, okay, new covenant. Jesus did it all for you. It's finished. Now go ahead and walk in it. Mm. And that's why we can come to God boldly.
Amen.
And that's why we need to learn how to think, how to speak, and not just let things befall us, because he's made a way now. I mean, Moses would have loved to seen the day that we're in now, because we've got everything now. We've got authority. All we have to do is walk in that and believe it. And then, as Christians, shouldn't we believe the word?
Absolutely.
This is the problem. A lot of Christians don't. You know, sometimes me probably, because you see all these things. We have abundant life. We can do exceedingly abundantly above everything we're might ask or think.
That's your favorite scripture.
That's one of my favorite. I know. I quote it all the time. More than conquerors. You know, you can just, super conquerors, you can just keep going through that New Testament and look at all the promises there for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
But when push comes to shove, and this is what religion does. Religion says, you did something bad. Ooh, you know, you haven't read the word for a week. So is God mad at you if you haven't read the word for a week?
No.
God missed out on some fellowship, and we missed out on some fellowship.
Yeah, we missed out more so than God.
Well, amen.
And he so desires it, but still missed out.
Totally. But God's not mad at us.
No.
He's never mad at us.
It took him 500 years to get man in Egypt. You'll be in heaven before he gets mad at you. Please.
He's not getting mad at you for anything ever, because there's no condemnation.
Right.
There's no longer any condemnation. When you look at that, that should be freeing. That should be like, whoa.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is, and it's you know, not that you want to go sin. That's a whole nother discussion. Not that you want to willfully sin, because there is no condemnation, because then you're probably not saved if you're thinking that way.
Right. But, and if it bothers you when you do sin, that means the Holy Spirit is convicting you. If you sin and you miss it and you're getting convicted and you're feeling the effects of that burden of sin, well, then that's a good thing. It means your heart is soft. And then you just repent.
Yeah.
Turn from that thing and go seek God again.
Right. Well, willful sin gives the devil a right to mess with us.
Right.
So you don't want to get into willful sin, because you're a slave to whom you obey.
Exactly.
That's Romans 6. So,
but here's the thing, dude. Because I know the Bible says, awake to righteousness and sin not. That's a cause and effect. It's like when you awake to righteousness, you won't sin. You will sin not, because you've awoken to righteousness.
Right.
You're not going to pursue sin.
Yeah. You're free to not do it.
Right. You're actually free to not sin.
You're free to not sin. You're free to not walk with the world.
Are you telling the listeners that they can go a year without sinning?
First of all, Christians do not sin the way that unbelievers sin anyway.
Can we go 1 year without missing the mark?
I mean, you could.
I'd say absolutely. Jesus did it 33 years.
Yeah.
Why can't we do it 1 year?
Amen.
If he's our example and he never sinned, that means we could never sin. It's possible.
Well, if it's in the word and he says sin not, then you have to follow that.
Right. So it's possible.
It's possible.
Like, you can go 10 years without sinning.
You can go without worrying.
Worrying is a sin.
He says, don't worry. Don't let your heart be troubled.
Ah, Don't worry, don't fear, don't worry, don't be afraid.
So if your heart's troubled, that's a problem. You got to get back to that scripture and look at that and get that into you.
If your heart is troubled,
it shouldn't be troubled.
But I know what the Holy Spirit would say. If your heart is troubled, I know what the Holy Spirit would tell you. And I know he'd back me up on this. He would say, you're not trusting on Jesus.
Exactly. And that just comes back to not believing the word.
Right.
But just getting back to it, the idea that something bad happens and now we are going to blame God for that.
Right.
And it's really a religious thing, and I think it's a lot of churches have that kind of attitude, and that's not really very freeing.
It's not very freeing at all.
That's not what God wants to get across to you. If you go into any church and you come out feeling like you got to do X, Y, Z, which I think is kind of how a lot of churches are these days, it's not about what God did, it's about what you do. We don't need to sit here and focus on how much we love God. We need to focus on how much God loves us.
Amen. Because again, it would be what we're doing.
Exactly.
Come on.
And that brings, that brings that condemnation, like I can't do it, and I didn't do it right this week, and I didn't worship the Lord right, and I didn't praise him enough, and that whole deal.
And you spend a whole week or 2 weeks beating yourself up, trying to re-qualify for your righteousness when you didn't qualify for it in the first place.
No.
So get over yourself and get back to the feet of Jesus. What's the deal? No, why don't we do that? We can't qualify.
I think it's religion. I think it's just that spirit. And most of us, or a lot of us, grew up with some kind of religious notion of God. And our minds are not renewed to where they need to be.
Exactly right.
Where we're just at that point where, Lord, And even if we do screw up, I missed it, but you love me. You're not holding out on me. That's the big lie from the garden, is that God is holding out. God is not holding out. He'll never hold out. He'll never hold out any good thing. No good thing is ever withheld by God. That is something that we need to...
Because it's not his character to hold out on you. Why would he do... Because
he's
good. Why would you hold out on your kids?
It goes back to he's good. No, and I wouldn't give my kids cancer to teach them something.
Well, why not? Don't you love them? But that's how people think about God.
I know.
We need to develop that confidence. It needs to be cultivated in the body of Christ. The confidence in who God is. Check it out. Check this out. I was talking to Brother Nick on the phone this morning at like 5:30 this morning.
Amen to 5:30.
Amen to 5:30 is right. And you guys will meet Brother Nick soon. Brother Nick is an utter joy. He really is. And I said, Brother Nick, there was a time when God said, I'm repentant, I even made man. I'll just blow them all out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get rid of the whole lot.
Right.
I'm sorry I even made them.
Mm-hmm.
Moses
told God to repent.
Like he had a right. Gets up in God's face and says, you will not. Yeah. You have a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what did the Bible say? The Lord changed his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses got in God's face with confidence over the blood of a goat.
Yeah.
A goat.
Yeah.
Because he believed that that blood, at least temporarily, would make him the righteousness of God. And it did.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a credit card, temporarily, you paid for something in full, and it's yours, temporarily, until the bill comes.
Right.
Well, the Old Testament was the credit card. Jesus is the payment of that credit card. So now you're out of debt, and now it really is yours. Now that suit you bought for $150, I don't know where you can buy a suit for $150, but that lobster dinner.
Price big and tall.
That you're not paying for 6 months after you ate it. It wasn't that good the first time you ate it. You're still paying for it because it was a credit card. Now the bill is paid in full. That meal really is yours. Moses stood up right in God's face over the blood of a goat because he had the confidence that he could and that he had a right. And technically, he did have a right at that point. We have the blood of Jesus. We know nothing about it. And that's why we freak out when the littlest thing happens.
Yeah.
But we have the blood of Jesus. But without the revelation of what that blood does and what it means.
That's right. Man, then the condemnation is still there. Because the devil is still whispering in your ear that God is holding out.
Yeah.
That God does not really have the best for you.
Right. Do not cast away your confidence. Because it has great recompense of reward. Hebrews 10:35.
Amen.
Don't throw away your confidence. Come on, people. We love you.
Is it about the natural world? Is it about what we see,
no.
taste, smell,
no.
hear, and feel? No, it's not. It's about the word. We have to stand on the word above what the world shows us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're always in process. We've been speaking things for years now, you know.
Yeah.
And things are coming to fruition.
Fruition, absolutely.
It's like 2013. This was the best year I ever had.
2013 was the best year I ever had. 2014 was the best year I ever had.
Amen. And 2015 is going to be the best year you ever had.
Not as good as 2016. Best year I ever had.
2017 will be better.
2018 was the best year I ever had.
Absolutely was the best year you ever had.
Not so to mention 2020.
You get the idea. We can keep going.
You get it? You get it. They get it. They really are.
But you have to believe for this to work that God is for you. You have to believe the word. You have to speak it. You have to speak what God speaks over your life, over your circumstances, and not just adhere to how it looks. You can't pay the bills for whatever reason. Well, God says he'll meet all your needs. He richly gives you all things to enjoy. So you got to believe those bills are paid, even if in the natural it looks like they're not. Now you might just say, well, that's just lying because it's really not that way. No, I'm saying what God says about the situation. God's word Amen. Says the need is met and we have to go and say right. what God says Amen. About our situation. I don't care how it looks. I don't care what the bank statements say. I don't care what the bills say.
Right.
I don't care what the doctor says.
Amen.
I care what God's word says.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
The red letters, those are the words that matter.
Amen. I mean, red letters always win. I
red letters
kind of say.
Red letters always win.
That sounds like a good t-shirt.
So red if we can get win. Rid of the religious spirit.
Yeah.
And start walking in the way that God desires us to, and the way that Jesus provided for us.
Mm.
See, that's the thing. I think a lot of believers are going to get into heaven and not realize what they could have had. Now, there's not going to be crying or tears in heaven.
He wipes them all away.
He wipes them all away. We know that when we get to heaven, things are going to be great. You know, streets of gold and everything's going to be great. Every need is going to be met.
Mm-hmm.
But who wants to wait until then?
Yeah, really. Have it now.
Have it now.
Come on.
Because he's given to us for now. It doesn't matter then. Because that's already done. It's over. Your most basic Christian believes that. Oh, yeah, you know, we believe that part. We believe we're going into heaven and we'll know everything and everything will be set right.
Right.
No more crying, no more tears. But you start talking to people about this life and you start getting some funny looks.
Yeah.
Hey, you're blessed today. You're prosperous. God is prosperous. He became poor that you might become rich.
Hmm.
Well, yeah. I mean, I have spiritual riches. Well, no. You're rich, so you can do things that, in the natural rich, money rich, so you can then do things that God has called you to do. And
right.
You can then send people where God wants them
That's
to go.
It.
And
fulfill
then
needs.
Where you can fund the gospel in the earth.
Yeah, people have like a problem with the prosperity part of the gospel, and here's why. Because they think they got to keep it all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They think they got to keep all the money.
Mm-hmm.
And all the blessings, as they call it.
So you've got to have the biggest house with the most stuff.
Yeah, 9 Cadillacs.
And the best car. And God's not cheap by any means. I mean, he wants us to have overflow, more than enough in
Amen.
Our lives. That Amen. Is God, more than enough. All your needs met, gives
Absolutely.
You richly all things to enjoy.
Oh,
that is
Lord.
God. But not just being blessed so that you can sit around and take it all unto yourself.
Amen.
No,
That's
it's
right.
just, it's to That's get right. it out there, to circulate it so that we're coming to the end here.
Yeah, and
There's
it's already
that
there.
Need to be saved.
It's already there, too. It's already there. The spirit. You know, I heard someone say once, oh, I felt something move in the spirit. Everything in the spiritual realm is a fixed position in the sense that God already provided it.
Yeah.
What you feel moving is your brain, your mind shifting to get the revelation that that thing is already there in the spirit.
Amen.
The provision's already there.
Jesus is seated now. He's seated at
He's
the right hand of the
down.
Father. He's not working.
Right.
He's not healing people now.
It's
he healed people 2,000
finished.
Years ago.
It is finished.
He blessed people financially 2,000 years ago.
He did. He sure did.
Now, acknowledge it, walk in it, speak in it, behave like you have it.
Yeah.
Because you do, whether you see it or not.
And when you see it in the natural manifest, don't say, hey, look what God just did. God didn't mm-hmm. just do that. He did that 2,000 years ago.
That's right.
You're just getting the revelation. It's really your mind did that. It unlocked the area of unbelief in that realm. Is that, am I putting that right?
Well, the spiritual realm. What happened in the spiritual already is now being seen in the natural. Because it already happened in the spiritual.
Right, and that's what that manifestation is.
2,000 years ago. Now, for us, it's a matter of, I think, pulling it into the natural. And how do we do that? We do that through speaking. We do that through believing.
Right.
We do that through not taking the devil's word as an answer. Like, I guess...
Right, that's... Just, yeah, exactly.
I guess this is just my lot. I'm broke. I'm sick. I can't give a dime towards any cause. And,
right.
You know, this is where God has me. No, that's where the devil has you.
Right.
And he wants you to believe, going back to the garden, the lie that God is holding out, which goes back to our original premise, because God does not hold out.
He is so not holding out.
Can you imagine how God felt when his son was on that cross, taking all the sins of the world? I mean, I can't even imagine. Like, you think of, like, the worst pain you ever felt or the worst headache you ever had, one of those where you're just, like, thinking, oh, my gosh, I can't go on. And he took that times... millions
and
times.
I don't even think
we can't comprehend
it. Yeah, but I don't even think that was the worst part of it.
Being separated from the Father.
The worst part is when
being separated.
He was separated from God. He was never separated from God. Ever. Jesus was never separated. He was never apart from the Father. I think that's what did it.
But because of that, that's why this way was made for us. You know, like, well, who do you think you are, you know? Like, you're fond of saying you're the righteousness of God. Well, that's what the Word says about you, so...
Yeah, I'm not
God
saying
God says
it
about you, you can say it. Who do you think you are? Well, I think I'm who Jesus made me to be.
Here's how it goes. I was the righteousness of Frank, now I'm the righteousness of God. That's it.
Amen.
Self-righteousness will always lead to utter and miserable defeat. Always. Always. It's death. It's sin. There's nothing good about it except how it feels. And maybe it feels good. But being the righteousness of God, there's nothing like it. And I ain't ever going back. I know you're not either.
No. Praise the Lord. Anyone who's listening, if you're a believer, you're the righteousness of God.
That's right. There's nothing you could ever do to make God not love you.
And it's not a pride thing. It's just... what the Word says.
It's the ultimate form of humility.
It is the ultimate form of humility.
The ultimate form of humility. What God says you are, you say you are.
That's right. That's the ultimate humility. And people get all, because, well, that's not very religious. No, it's
not. No, thank God for that.
It's not very religious. That's right.
What God says Keith is, Keith says he is.
Getting into the Word, just knowing what the Word says.
Right, exactly.
And believing that, taking that and running with it. Jesus did it all. Now we need to walk in what he provided. And it gets rid of that religiosity that I gotta, anything about what I did.
Amen.
Anything about what I'm doing or what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Which just puts condemnation on you, because you can, whatever it is, you can never do it well enough, you can never do it good enough, you can never put enough time into it.
That's right.
And it'll never come out right. If it's on your own. We have the Lord to help us through all those things, do all those things, and everything is done. Everything has been provided.
Now all you gotta do is just pluck it out of the Spirit. That's it.
Yeah. So when things start going wrong, you start putting the devil under your feet.
That's right.
Don't blame God for it, because he has nothing to do with it.
Tell him like Bill Winston, hey, Satan, you're under my feet, and if you got anything to say, you can write it on the bottom of my shoe.
That's right. Yeah. Read it here. It's right here. It's well written for you there.
That's it. Thank you, Lord.
Bottom of my feet. Jesus put all things under his feet.
That's right. Thank you, Lord. Well, buddy, that was fun.
That was fun.
It's always a treat. Sitting next to the great Keith Axel.
I'll let you borrow my phablet sometime.
I can't wait. We'll talk to you guys next week. It was fun. And remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus
is Lord.
Stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Until next time, stay in the blessing.